Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up later on this hour, we got today's top five. Top five songs from this week in 1992. We'll, later on. All right, we're going to welcome to the show in just a moment our friend Weapon Master Ian Gordon, but we're here with Jolie from the front desk. We've got some phone calls we're going to get to. The question was, we got this, I'll just read it quickly. Don in Portland. Dear Jolie said, I'm a guy that really isn't into large breasts. I like smaller breasts. And he said that I actually had to tell a girl I was seeing that I just wasn't that into her because she had large bosoms. My question is this, from a woman's standpoint, would a guy that isn't attracted by large breasts seem really strange or what? Thanks for the help, Don in Portland. So your take on it was that what, he's shallow and then also weird?
Well, kind of, you know, but you know,
I mean, it's certainly abnormal.
In fairness, well, yeah, it is, because most guys like, you know, the boobs and the porn and all that kind of girls.
I mean, really, bigger is pretty much better as a general rule.
I'm actually not with Rick on that. I'm telling you, like, dead on, swear to God, C-cup is the perfect size breast.
Yeah, but it's not.
That's still not small.
I'm not saying small, but I'm just saying that, yeah.
It depends. It really does depend on the girl.
That would be my preference.
Like, I don't know. Well, who's a good example of this? Jessica, the long hair, 10-year-old Jessica, 20. Now, I mean, I don't know. I don't really know, like, what bra size she is or anything. But, I mean, she's got a small, but she's very slender, very small frame. So you get a girl like that, or especially, you know, some girls are slender and then sort of short at the same time, you know, kind of a little on the short side. Those girls, it always takes so much less. It's all about proportion. I don't think it's about the actual number and the size. It's all proportion. Because if there's a girl who's bigger or taller or whatever, and then there's a girl who's small or petite or it totally just depends on, you know, it totally depends on where it is, like, relative to the rest of the girl's body, I think. It's all about looking proportional. And I think guys, for one thing, I think guys always have, like, this bizarre, guys know so little, I think, in many ways, about the reality of, like, the female form. That's why you can always tell when porn has been written by a guy. Like, if you're reading some porn story, you can always tell when a dude has written it, because every woman in every porn story is a 38 double D. Because guys have no idea what anything really means. You know, guys are, now she was a 44 triple D, and it's like, dude, 44, you're basically having sex with Hillbilly Jim if the woman is like a 45 something, you know. I mean, it's very big. But guys just have no clue what that means. So guys, I remember there's this book called Mayflower Madam, which is a story about this, about an escort service. It was a woman named Sydney Barrows who ran a really famous and infamous escort service in New York in the 1970s and 1980s. And she said that she remembers walking by the phone one day. A guy had called the escort service looking for a girl, right? And they're like, what do you want the girl? And it's like, well, I want her to be this and that. And she said she walks by, and the woman who runs the escort service, the operator, is busy talking to the guy, and she's going, sir, you don't understand. No, 29 double D is really big. You don't understand. You know, and it's like the guy just wouldn't get it because they have no clue. So I don't think it's about size as an objective thing. I think it's about looking proportional, you know?
Well, sure.
But it is abnormal, though, to be a guy. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying it's abnormal, though, to be a guy who's into much smaller breasts. Nothing wrong with it. But, I mean, you look around America, you can say that it's definitely sort of abnormal.
True, but, you know, the main point is, I think that it comes down to that, Don, you know, somebody has to like the girls with no boobs.
And there has to be some.
I mean, there are guys that don't
so
like big
sad.
Boobs. So
I can't believe you.
Well, I mean, you know, we're made of all different shapes and sizes, and it's like, you know, some people preferring tall people or brown-haired people, you know. Well, the smaller boobs, whatever.
There has to be somebody for the flat-chested.
Well, it's true.
I'm glad I didn't say that. If I said that, everybody would be railing on me, being mean and insensitive. Let's see. Catherine says, if they're too large, they're gross-looking and will never be perky. They're perky for, like, about 3 months when you're, like, 17. But it's like, that's kind of pointless for us anyway. They can't do nothing. So it's
there's
like,
boob
you know,
lifts, you know.
Yeah, that is true. Let's see, and then we have this from somebody who should probably remain nameless. Maybe he doesn't want to feel like he's doing his mama, because most women get larger breasts as they get older. That is true. Do you ever see those women that it's like, I'm like, you see those women that are like 55 or 60 or 65, and they're at the store in the frozen foods aisle, and yeah, and it's like everything. It's like duct tape and a steel girder to try to keep that thing intact. You know, it's like I had this friend who I will not name, but growing up, I had this friend, and he had this mom who was, you know, I think he's not very attractive. She's very kind of a plain looking woman, but it's like I swear to God, she had like double H. Just huge. I mean, I'm guessing. But I mean, they're just huge. Just massive. And at one point, we were like, I had stayed over at his house, you know, and I'd washed a shirt there. So I'm like, I gotten a piece of clothing dirty. And so I'm doing laundry at his house for some reason. And I'm going through the dryer looking for my shirt. And I pull out one of his mom's bras. And it's like, it was an accident.
Eric.
It was in the dryer. It was in the dryer, right? But I'm 13, so it's like, it's a bra, you know? So I pull out my shirt. His mom, who, again, not very good looking, cute, like the biggest breasts you've ever seen in your life, though. And so you just had to know him more than anything else because you're 13 and you're just totally into it. And I, you know, and it's like, and I, you know, and he couldn't see the, it's like it was like all rubbed off and worn. You couldn't see it. But I mean, you hold it up and it's like holding up like a giant vampire bat from the Congo, you know? It was like blocking out the sun. It's like the biggest bra. And it said, and, but I remember this, it was called the Minimizer. That's what the name of the bra was. So, I mean, you know. I'm just saying. I don't know what my point was there, but we'll get.
Some women are born with large breasts, and they don't have to have children to get them.
I'm not trying to be down on small breasts. I'm not. I'm just saying, you know, it probably is good, because, I mean, I think by American standards, that guy is, I think, you know, he's in the minority, which is nothing wrong with it.
Right.
But,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm just saying. All right, I'll tell you what, we'll come back, let's do this, we'll talk to Ian in just a moment. Let's quickly talk to our good friend Tim Riley in the KFTK
News. And now, it's not just news, it's news with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
A 91-year-old Portland man who said he was blinded by the sun pled guilty to careless driving and has been fined $175 in connection with that accident that killed a tigered mother and her 7-month-old daughter. Morris Director said the glare from the sun blinded him, causing the car to drive off the road and into a group of people on 99W back on July 10th. The parents of a 7-month-old child have filed a $300 lawsuit against the doctor who performed an unsuccessful vasectomy. Leo Weinbarger and his wife Donna, both 33 of Corbett, filed the medical negligence suit in Multnomah County. In the suit, Weinbarger claims he had a vasectomy back in 1998, and he claims the doctor knew it wouldn't work, but he kept quiet about it. The suit contends the couple has already suffered $10,000 in economic damages and expect the child to cost another $300,000 before turning 18.
That's completely
great. A $300,000 lawsuit.
That is completely great. That's the best lawsuit ever. Make the hospital pay to raise your kid. That's complete. Although, you know, you might as well just start saving that kid's therapy bills right now, by the way, when he, you know, you're looking through the family scrapbook and your parents are suing the doctor for making them have you. That's going to be something that comes up at a drunken family reunion after one too many whiskeys. You know? So. I never wanted you! You were.
Yeah, okay. Goodbye, Ronnie. Hello, Michael. Now that CBS has given the boot to the Reagans, the network is looking to Michael Jackson for help. According to Variety, the pop superstar is in talks with CBS to attempt to end the crucial ratings period on a positive note. They're hoping for a Michael Jackson special.
No, but seriously, what are they really going to do?
That's exactly what they're doing.
A Michael Jackson special.
Instead of the Reagans.
It's like 1992 all over again. Michael Jackson, and, you know, and I'm the guy who spent all last year saying there was going to be a big MJ comeback. That, you know, that he was going to ride the huge wave. He was going to be, there was going to be a renaissance. But you know what? You can't dangle babies and look like a freak, you know, that often and then release a terrible album. And then on top of it, what else did he? Didn't he do something? He dangled the baby, and then what else? There was some other freaky thing he did. What the hell was it? Well, that shopping trip and the special he did on CBS or whatever.
His nose isn't there anymore.
Yeah, and his nose is gone. It's done. You're done. It's over. It's over. Pack it up. You're finished, Michael.
And finally, Montel Williams had to pay a $100 fine for being caught with pot paraphernalia at the airport in Detroit. Williams smokes dope for his MS. A statement read on Williams' behalf says medical marijuana reduces pain. Part of Metro forecast, clear this afternoon, highs 45 to 50, still clear tonight, lows the upper 20s. Next news, when it happens, I'm Tim Riley.
I gotta tell you, I like Montel Williams. I wish, is his show still on?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really watch it, but I mean, I like it. He's a cool guy, though. And that's the guy.
He's bald.
And he's got MS?
Yeah, he's had it for a long time.
Man, MS is like the worst disease ever.
But he still works out and stuff.
Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, good friend, Weapon Master Ian Gordon. How are you? I'm sorry. We got Ian's mic there. I'm sorry. Wait, you know, can we just... Seriously, I'm going to take this third microphone and toss it in a closet.
Every single day you do that. You push that mic in front of
it. I didn't push the microphone in front of a damn thing.
That was my fault this time.
I'm going to put a big sign on it saying, like, no, not this one. And it doesn't work.
Yeah, it was my fault, although there wasn't a sign that said, no, not this one. It doesn't work.
You know, it's like a house where you can't run the toaster and the curling iron at the same time because it'll blow the fuse box. That's what the studio's like. It's like, you know, you can either use that microphone or Sarah can do the traffic. You can't do both. All right, hey, what's up with you?
I like them small.
You like small boobs and you cannot lie.
Yeah, it's my preference.
All right.
But doesn't your wife have a little bit larger?
See, I wasn't going to say that.
More than a little bit larger, yeah.
Yeah, your wife, Jen, is very...
I'm not saying that...
I don't know if I can... As men, is that a thing you can say?
What?
As men, can I say that your wife, Jen, is very attractive?
Yeah, damn right.
Well, because... Okay, see, I'm glad you said
that. No, I'm not jealous about it. I know she's hot.
No. I'm just saying, when you come in and you go, you like them small... I immediately open my mouth and go, but your wife has huge, you know, but I'm like, no.
Not that you've noticed or anything.
What are you going to do?
I'm not saying that big is bad by any means.
Yeah.
My wife is awesome and great, and, you know, I'm totally happy with that.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, if there's another world and another lifetime, that type of thing.
In an objective sense, though.
Right.
So what attracted you to her? I mean, were you...
Well, because she's cool.
Well, no, I know, but like this guy, he was dating the girl with the big boobs, and then he decides, I can't really date you because your boobs are too big.
Well, see, that's not an issue.
Yeah, see, I like
it. It has nothing to do with, like, that. You know, that's like the smallest part of a problem when you're dealing with a woman, right?
That's
it's like, I think your boobs are too small or too big.
Seriously, I mean, if this guy, and again, I don't know anything about Don in Portland. I mean, I'm not trying to say anything bad about him. But, I mean, if that's like a deal breaker for a relationship
didn't
or whatever,
he say that the turns him off big boobs?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it depends.
Because he likes boys.
Could be that. Well, we've got this gay Bob, who emails us sometimes, says, Rick, to the guy who doesn't like big boobs, send him to me. Mine aren't very big. Bob. So there you go.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not trying to say anything about Don here in Portland. It all depends about whether he's dating the girl looking for potential relationship or whether it's just somebody to bang. Because if it's somebody to bang, then I think you're allowed to sort of look for your ideal, your physical perfection. If it's just, you know, if you're just looking for a booty call or something. But, I mean, if you're in a relationship, you can't just be dumping somebody because they're, you know.
I don't like that idea.
You know, the wrong measurement somewhere.
Right.
You don't want to do that.
But, Ian, did you date girls that had small boobs?
Yeah. Not exclusively.
Yeah, see, it's not a fetish. That's like an absolute deal breaker, it's no longer a preference, it's like a fetish.
Then it's your issue, not hers anyway.
Yeah, that's not her. Yeah, then that's you got, and I'm not saying this about Dom, but I'm saying if that's, you know what it is? It's like being some guy who would only ever date a blonde.
Right.
You know, it's fine to prefer blondes, but it's like if you would only ever date a blonde, then there's something else going on there. You know,
yeah.
You've got some weird, bizarre issue or something going on there or something. It can't be like a deal breaker.
Right, no. And it never was even an issue with my wife and I, and she knows. I mean, she does, you know. But
yeah. I mean, if I was like Lara's physical ideal, first of all, I'd be big and black, for one thing. So, I mean, you know, so...
she's way off there. Way off.
So, yeah, I mean, like, the deal would have been broken so long ago anyway. But, you're willing to overcome, you're willing to overlook my melanin shortcomings,
Lara met the low.
What?
No wonder she doesn't come to the party.
Why don't you shut your cake hole over there?
Yeah, that's what I told Jen when we got together. It's like, you know,
I know you have
really big, nice breasts, but, I really prefer small, and so I'm sorry, I'm just gonna have to bail out.
She's gonna
have to
get rid of those.
Yeah. Did you actually discuss this with her? Does she know that you're more of a...
Yeah, she knows. Yeah, we have a good relationship, Jen and I, so.
Well, you know, I was going to say, some advice to Don. You know, don't tell the girl that you don't like her because her boobs are too big. That's one thing.
Yeah, talk about giving a girl a reverse complex.
Oh, yeah.
Women in America just do everything they possibly can to get bigger boobs. Now I'm dumping you because they're too big.
You got
to
just do the it's not you, it's me thing and just get out of town.
Right? They don't believe you anyways. But the bottom line is, Don, you know, you're not that weird because...
No, you're in the minority, but it's not weird.
There's people for everybody, and some people just don't like them that way, and that's not, like, too weird.
The other option is that her appendages, if they're large, might make his look even smaller.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe she's
boobs?
Like...
No.
No, you know what I'm saying.
South.
I'm saying... No, I'm saying... Well, we were just talking about that, my friend's mom growing up, and how she was just, you know, the little tiny woman, huge breasts...
Yeah, letter P.
Yeah, she's like a capital P. But that's the thing. It's like, no, I mean, if you're a guy, like, I'm not saying that this is this guy here, but I'm saying theoretically, if you're a guy and you maybe feel, you're sensitive about what you perceive to be your own physical shortcomings, or you feel like you're not well endowed, you know,
You want somebody else with physical shortcomings.
And then you're with, like, a woman. You're a woman who has, like, a bounty of physical attributes. Then, you know, you're probably going to feel like a tool.
Exactly.
So, you know, a little tiny tool.
A little itty-bitty one.
A little jeweler's tool that you kind of use to fix eyeglasses with. The kind that you get, diamonds. The kind you buy at the airport gift shop to fix your watch. So
I love you, by the way, hon. I know you're listening, so nothing bad.
Welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Our good friend, Kristen in accounting. The lovely and talented Kristen in accounting. How are you?
Well, you know, personally, I kind of find this guy's opinion refreshing.
Yes.
Being among the small-breasted contingent myself, you know, lately...
And we love you, and we love you.
Yeah, but, you know, you're adored by men everywhere.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, you start to feel like a freak yourself now because so many women can get the big breasts that if you're not a big-breasted woman, you start to feel like there's, you know, you have the shortcoming. So it's kind of nice to hear Ian among them that, you know, you can appreciate the smaller-breasted women because... You know, you just start getting this idea in your head that, you know, you're nothing unless you have the big boobage.
Well, see, and that's the thing is, it's like, there's a difference, again, between, like, preferences and stuff that you're just not willing to compromise on. And especially if it's about a relationship, the physical, I don't want to sound all Oprah on you, but, I mean, it's like the stuff that you're willing to not compromise on should be just about the person. Because otherwise, cause, you know,
yeah,
otherwise you're just
going
to be looking for a hacksaw.
What? There's nothing wrong with this guy for liking the small breasts.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But what I guess what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter whether you like him small or big or whatever. If you meet somebody you're really into and you dig them,
right.
You know, it's like, look, there's a million large-chested women in the world. And there's a jillion small-chested women in the world. I'm saying you got to be bendable on that stuff.
The thing is, maybe I'll sound like a total chick here, but a lot of the time you look at these big breasts, and they're really not all that attractive because they're like sagging down to somebody's waistline.
Well, it varies. See, again, from woman to woman, it varies.
You know, when you're 22 and they're nice and perky, that's one thing, but then, you know.
When you get the grapefruit and the sock look, it doesn't work out as well.
Oh, what you got?
Well, you know, I'm 37.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of perky. You know what I'm saying? I won't have to worry about that.
I think all the attendees at the listener party can vouch for that. So, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, you know, it's kind of like I totally respect all the women in Hollywood like Michelle Pfeiffer and Gwyneth Paltrow that haven't enhanced their chest, you know, because they are proud of what they have and they are great actresses.
All right.
Yeah, you really care, you.
I really don't care. I really don't care. All right, there's Kristen McCounting, Jolie at the front desk, Weapon Master Ian, thank you. We'll be back. We got more on the way, including the top five. More of your phone calls. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk, the Nitty Gate. You guys stay there.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, because I think I told you this, I don't even have to buy romance novels anymore. I did the bit once for like 2 minutes, and I got the... Well, right here.
Are you going to read some more?
No, because...
You've got just a paragraph.
Just to, like, just because it happened to catch my eye, because I was at Safeway, and the Safeway, you know, there's this thing where they sell bad paperback novels that people have donated, and they're like at a big table, and like a buck each, and the money goes to, I don't know, help kids with tapeworms or something, so I was looking at it, it's all just like the lowest rung of, you know, and like Tom Clancy's about the most cerebral thing you're going to find there, and it's like, that's the top of the list right there. It's like endless bad Stephen Kuntz novels, not Stephen Kuntz, Dean Kuntz,
Dean
and Stephen.
Kuntz.
No, but who's the guy? Stephen, the guy that writes
King.
No. The guy that writes the military novels. I want to say it's Stephen Kuntz, but it's anyway Dean Kuntz. There's a guy. It was a little
Stephen J.
Not Stephen J. Cannell. There's a guy whose name is a lot like Stephen Kuntz, like Stephen Kuntz or Snoots, something like that. Anyway, it's crap. But then there's crap, and then, but more specifically, there's this romance novel crap. And so I bought one called, what was it, Passion, Fire, Ecstasy, Enchanted Ecstasy by Constant O'Banion. And I read it, and it was like just something I did, like, for like 90 seconds. And I just got the biggest, and I got, just arriving in the mail now, just every couple of days, I get people sending me romance novels. The descriptions are always the best part, by the way. Let me just, I'm going to do the top five here after the break.
Let's do it here.
All right, but then we have to come back, and I have to read you from Bittersweet Sacrifice and The Outlaw Hearts. Let me just the Outlaw Hearts, by the way, is The Saga of a Renegade, a Lady, and a Love That Became a Legend. All right, so there you go. So we'll do that when we come back. Here's your top five for Wednesday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire!
Wah!
Counting is wonderful.
Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do.
Counting is Catherine Hepburn.
Happiness. Counting is
ecstasy.
I love to count, don't you?
All right. So, Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
And it was this week, 11 years ago today, that Bill Clinton and Al Gore were elected as leaders of the free world. Notice we said elected. Leading to an eight-year nightmare of unprecedented peace and prosperity. So, let's dip into the cultural well and take a look at that moment in time. These are the top five songs from this week in 1992. With honorable mention at number 6, House of Pain and Jump Around.
Yeah. Than a Dunkin' Donut shot. I love this song, man. I haven't really sat and listened to this. We use it as a pop, but I haven't really sat and listened to this for a long time. And then my mom came to town about 3 months ago, and we got into my mom's car. My mom was just like a little tiny, what is that, Ford Focus? Is that what makes the Focus Ford? My mom had a little tiny Ford Focus with the boom system that my brother put in. My brother's like a full-on like hip-hop fiend. Put this huge system in my mom's Focus. The car goes like 3 feet off the ground. I get in my car, my mom's listening to De La Soul, and I'm like, what are you doing? And my brother had made her some big hip-hop. My mom is 67, by the way. And so my mom had been motoring up the gorge listening to House of Pain and, you know, Digital Underground. But this was on there. A great song, man. Gave us DJ Lethal and Everlast. Whatever happened to Danny Boy? Where did that guy go? Danny Boy is sort of the Garrett Morris of this group. He kind of just didn't go anywhere.
He's the MC Ren of NWA.
He really is. Jump. A Limp Bizkit is a pretty reputable version of this live. They do a pretty... Their version of this is actually pretty good.
Not as good as their version of Behind Blue Eyes.
No, well, nothing can really top that because it's untoppable.
Number 4, 5 is Madonna and Erotica.
Oh, man, come on. This is so
bad. I'd like to put you in a trance if I take you from behind.
So much better than the stuff she's doing now.
Oh, man, this is when she was in her full-on dominatrix era, and it was like that icy cold, dominant sort of, you know, sex...
The black hair, the crystal blue eyes.
Yeah, just the icy
rubber.
Sex queen, yeah. She had that video for Human Nature. You know, she did that, I didn't know we couldn't talk about sex. Oh, man. I'm not really so much into the leather and domination scene, but, I mean, she made it look hot. And every time I talk about Madonna, I get a bunch of letters from people who are like, Madonna sucks, she's always sucked. There's nothing, I can't convince people at this point, you're either on the side of Madonna or you're not, but it's like, I'm saying for me, she did it about as well as it could be done. I mean, she pretty much, she with this album, kind of took it as far as it could go. Yeah, she's like Neil Young in that she kind of does these weird personality swings, and she'll take a certain trend as far as it can go and then swing back. And this was, she was at the outermost reaches of her kind of sex goddess image. Yeah, I could just listen to this in the dark room.
Was this the same time when her sex book came out?
Yeah.
Right around this time?
When they're forking Vanilla Ice. How unfair is this world?
At number 4 in The Heights, how do you talk to an angel?
God. Lead singer later went on to 90210 fame as Ray Pruitt.
Everybody now.
Beat Donna.
He sounds like Lauren Bacall.
I mean, do you think they called Crowded House and asked them to play and then the band just said no? And so they were just like, well, we'll make our own Crowded House.
even you've got to love that line. It's like trying to catch a fallen star.
I got mad respect for the Heights. Because the great thing about this is that this song went number one. This album was a huge seller. And both those things happened after the show had already been canceled. The show lasted like a day and a half, and then they canceled it.
I think it lasted like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I remember watching it.
Now, the show bombed colossally, but the record and the song were huge hits. And this was so obviously trying to cash in because The Commitments had come out that year, and it was a huge hit. And they wanted to like get this version of The Commitments stripped of all the soul and originality, and that was The Heights. Such a bad TV show. It's like the black guy who wants to be all soulful and the white guy who just wants it to rock a little more. And you can tell with the song, they're trying to cater to every demographic at once. There's the guitar lead right there, and then there's the guy blowing sax. So they're trying to hit every genre at once. Right there, come on. And the guitar will come back probably. Yeah. Let's cater to everyone shamelessly.
And at number three, P.M. Dawn, I Die Without
Love
You.
Love me some P.M. Dawn.
This was the slow dance of choice when I was in sixth grade at Catholic school.
I loved P.M. Dawn.
All right, some of us were slightly older than that. My junior and senior year in high school, man, I used to sit in my room and listen to the CD for
hours.
Yeah,
by this point, I'd graduated, had left behind CHR, and I was working at a rock morning show, so I didn't even really hear this a lot when it first came out. I was already out, living on my own, making my own way in this crazy mixed-up world.
I was playing Garth Brooks back then.
Everywhere I went, I had this CD with me in like a little Discman, and I could never get enough of
this. Was this The Heart, the Soul, the Cross? Was that this record?
Yeah.
You know, these guys were sort of the Beach Boys of hip-hop for like a day and a half. So just that lush, dreamy vocal. Man, these guys ought to come back. There ought to be a PM Dawn comeback. I'd buy that record. Not just because of nostalgia. I mean, they were really good. I remember 93 or 94, that Looking Through Patient Eyes was like the biggest hit that year. God, what a great song that was. You know, nobody really did anything like this, even after these guys.
Well, and you know, there was, before any of this, their first hit that was out was
Set Adrift on Memory Bliss.
Had
that Spandau Ballet sample in it.
Yeah, and it was all, you know, like surreal hip-hop almost.
Yeah. Lo probably hates it. It's probably out there right now just burning his radio.
Screaming at us about how we have like a complete lack of soul.
Come on, this is great.
Number two, Patti Smith and Don Henley. Sometimes love just eating up.
Give myself a cavity with this. Like a fool, I keep
losing my place.
How did she sucker Don Henley into this?
Danger in love and somebody to mount. And it's sad
when you know. Sarah's singing every word to every one of these songs today.
I have the deepest love for early 90s songs like this. I love
them. How old were you, 10?
I was 12.
Sometimes just loving now.
I remember this and that hideous, Bonnie Raitt song, I Can't Make You Love Me If You Don't. That
you
came out about the same time.
It. I could never change you.
I don't want to blame you. Baby, you don't
have to take the fall. And at number one, Boise Men and the End of the Road.
Now, Boise Men were number one with like 14. They were number one for 14 weeks. I think at the time, this was a record setter. I think it was the longest running number one single ever. It beat out that Bryan Adams song. Whatever happened to these guys? They sort of sunk into a black hole somewhere.
They actually just released an album about 2 years ago. Remember this video?
Oh, yeah.
It was like all black and white other than like some blue and little bits of red.
Was that them walking down the street in their suits?
Yeah.
It was all black and white and then in those bright blue suits and everything.
Imagine how much these guys got laid. Dude, you know, like that. And
you can't count that high.
Love to You song and On Bended Knee, all of that crap.
Discovered and produced by Michael Bivins from Bell Biv DeVoe.
Well, it's not like another bad creation was going to pay that guy's bills.
Yeah, well, no, these guys did, I'm sure of it.
Chilling at the schoolyard, you know. Yeah, all right. Whatever. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You just don't realize you've never been there before. It's only your first time. Maybe I'll give you. Maybe you'll try. We shouldn't be happy together. In the name of God, you have to quit playing this. Thank you.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Sarah really likes it, though, so here's her traffic.
And we got this, though. This is from Aaron, geek in the city. Dude, that list rocks. I can see my geeky self making out with one sweet theater girl after another. Good times. Aaron, smooth operating geek in the city. And then he says, P.S. F. Matt with Boys to Men, ABC, BBD.
This F. Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
East Coast family.
God, Aaron's great. Well, we do have reports of a disabled vehicle blocking the right lane. That's located on 405 southbound.
Is that at the end of the road?
On the ramp to the Markham Bridge, that's causing some delays, 405 South. Other than that, seeing no big delays around the city. I'm Sarah Dillon. That's your commuter update on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Make a note of it, we'll be back in 21 hours for the KOTK Noon News Hour. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show for today. We've got this. Rick, this is from Chaz. Michael Bivins was in Boys to Men, but he first became famous with New Edition, featuring a young Bobby Brown. Yes. If I recall correctly, New Edition was first noticed by Will Smith outside of a Philadelphia 76ers game singing. F. Matt with time traveling back to the real history of the man.
This F. Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
All right, well done. All right, there you go. Okay, coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, we'll try to get to this. We'll talk more about the sexy voice business, and we got a bunch of other stuff to get to. But we want to thank our CNN radio correspondent John Bisney, Hayden Christensen, Joel Silver, Tina Turner, Phil Collins, David Letterman, Al Sharpton. We want to thank everybody who got us Matrix Revolutions reviews. We'll probably have more of those coming in kind of as the week progresses. Tomorrow we'll be playing the Dry County Crook song again and again and again all week long. So go check them out at drycountycrooks.com. We want to thank Cheo. Yes, Cheo, for calling in today. We appreciate that. All right. Back in 21 hours, Like Us Next, followed by the Phil Hendry Experience. We want to thank Sarah Dillon, who, of course, produces this show today and every day in the KOTK newsroom, Tim Riley, who we thank for providing news as only he can do it. And, of course, we thank Matt Peterson for being the executive producer of the Rick Emerson Show today. We will be back tomorrow at noon, as always. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.